Joyce, today we are talking about something that is so important, a big part of all of our lives, and yet many people, and especially in the Christian community, are uncomfortable talking about it. But that's right. Why this is called a candid conversation.
Right.
So we're going to talk about sexuality today and what it means in a marriage and so many different topics that are really
right.
important to address. And this was something that is on your heart, that you wanted to share this.
Well, I don't know that I really wanted to, but I felt like God wanted me to.
Yeah, that's not always the same thing, is it?
It's not a subject that is really comfortable for most people
mm-hmm.
to talk about, and especially here I am now talking about it on television, on a program that's going to go around the world. And I know that many viewers maybe won't even be comfortable listening. So I guess the only thing I can say is if it gets uncomfortable for you, just don't watch it, but be sure you tune in again tomorrow when I won't be talking about sex. But we get so many questions.
We do.
About sex, and there's so many problems in our world today with sexual immorality
mm-hmm.
and confusion about what's right and what's wrong. And I just, if people don't get some of the answers they need from church or from Bible teachers, then,
right.
I mean, it's our job to teach them and instruct them. And Paul taught about sex in the Bible. And so I feel like that we need to talk about it. So first I want to start by saying
Can I say this
yeah.
real quick? I appreciate this about you so much. I appreciate that you're willing to go the difficult places, the deep things, the things that are important in life, and talk about it. I just appreciate that. And this has been one of those things that has been such an area that Satan comes in and tries to pervert
right.
and make it so different. And that kind of tells you how important it is.
Right.
But I know that that's something that you've thought a lot about as well.
Right. Well, first of all, I want to say that sex is not something dirty. It's something beautiful that was created by God. God put those desires in us. I think about in Genesis, after they fell into sin, and God told the woman that her desire would be for her husband, but she would bear children in pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so that desire was put there by God. And I think because of the way sex is perverted in the world today, the way it's made fun of, joked about, just perverted in every way, and because there's so much sexual abuse in the world, I know even for me, being sexually abused by my father, it was very, very hard for me to not see sex as being dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a difficult time with it in my marriage. And so first of all, I think it's important for people, if you've been abused, somebody's watching that's been sexually abused, and you're having the same kind of problem that I'm talking about, first of all, know and just get the understanding that it's something God intended. It's not dirty. It can be turned into something dirty, but it was intended to be something beautiful. And there is something wonderfully powerful that happens between a married couple. There's an intimacy that brings them together closer, and the devil knows that. And that's why he fights so hard to pervert it, because really, this is something that is a huge problem
yeah.
in the world. I mean, you're always hearing percentages, and I don't, you know, you have to be careful throwing them out. But I read something not too long ago that said 90% of people have sex before they're married. And God explicitly says that it's only for marriage. And so how many young people today wait until they're married? And I read something that recently that said that if people live together before they're married, which is so commonplace today, that a greater percentage of those people end up getting divorced than people mm-hmm. who wait to have sex until they are married. And so we have so much adultery today, which mm-hmm. is wrong.
And just destroying so many lives.
Just destroying so many lives.
Heartbreaking.
Proverbs is full I mean, especially like chapters 5, 6, and 7. I mean, he just goes over and over and over. Mm-hmm. Now, Proverbs was actually being written to a group of young men that were in training, so he deals more with it from the man's standpoint. But he just goes over and over how you're destroying your life, and it's going to bring you into a place of death. And so the reason why I'm doing this today is not to put anybody under condemnation, but to help people understand that if you do the right thing, then you're going to end up with a life that is really going to be enjoyable. I mean, this is not something, it's not for condemnation. It's mm-hmm. can be forgiven like any other sin. But I think a lot of times, because nobody talks about this, some young people don't even realize that it's wrong. And there's so many people today that live together before marriage, it's even recommended to people. And so I'm just saying, this is not me, I'm just saying that God says that it's wrong. He wants us to wait. And it's a beautiful thing if you do. And you'll feel good about it if you do. And so we get so many questions sent in here about what's right in sex, even within a marriage, and what's wrong. And the Bible doesn't address every question that people have. But one thing I can say is I don't believe that you should ever force your partner to do something that they're uncomfortable with. Mm-hmm. I think that you need to talk about things, and if you're not comfortable with something, you need to discuss it, and nobody should be forcing anybody to do anything that they're feeling bad about. It's something that both people should enjoy. I want to just say that I think it's unwise for a man or a woman to turn their partner down too often, because if you do that, you're just inviting them to go out and get involved with somebody else.
Now, let me ask you about that.
Okay.
That phrase too often is really important, because on
right.
one hand, you said don't force someone to do something they're not comfortable with.
Right.
So there are times that
yeah.
it's
if you're
okay.
If you're sick or you feel really bad or you're exceptionally
yeah.
tired, that's one thing. But if it's always...
You don't want it to be a consistent...
If it's always, I've got a headache, you know, I don't feel like it, I don't want to,
yeah.
then, you know, it's just not wise.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not wise. And there's a scripture here that, you know, some people may not like, but nonetheless, it's in the Bible. The husband should give to his wife, this is 1 Corinthians 7:3-5. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, somebody has authority over your body and they can just do whatever they
right.
want to do to you anytime they want to do it. But he is making a point here that this is something that you should be willing to do for your marriage partner, even if you don't particularly feel like it at the time, unless, like I said, you're sick or, you know, there's a good reason.
Yeah.
Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's the Apostle Paul. He's talking to people
right.
just like I'm talking to people today, and he's getting very explicit about don't do this, do this. You may not always feel like it, but
yeah,
don't cause a problem.
And what he says with that, because of a lack of self-control,
right.
that the flesh is often very, very weak. And
right.
so not to put ourselves in these positions where we're overly tempted to do everything that we can avoid that. But I want to ask you about that as well, because we talked about adultery and how many people are facing adultery.
Mm-hmm.
We also don't want to make an excuse that adultery was okay
yeah.
because of this. It's not
no.
that either.
No, it's not that either. It's not, you know, if I always like to tell people, if one person is doing something wrong, that doesn't give another person the right to do something wrong too.
Exactly.
If somebody treats me wrong, I don't now have permission to treat them wrong because they're treating me wrong.
Yeah.
Each one of us is responsible to do what's right, no matter what the other person does. You know, I think it's important to say that in a marriage, each partner's desires may not always be the same. You know, one could have stronger desires than the other. And so there are times when you do things for somebody because you love them, mm-hmm. even though maybe it's not what you, quote, feel like doing right at the time. I'm just saying to use wisdom.
Yeah.
As far as what's permissible in a marriage and not, we get a lot of the questions that I'm sure people can imagine what they are. And I actually asked a couple of people this morning that I know have done a lot of marriage counseling and how they talk to people mm-hmm. in these situations. And there just are things that the Bible just doesn't cover. Hebrews 13:4, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterers. And so there is a holiness and a godliness that we want to maintain even in the things that we choose and decide to do. Mm-hmm. Let's just say I could just give one example that I think would be okay. You know, pornography is wrong. It leads to all kinds of problems, and you're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But even though you're married to somebody, it still wouldn't be right for the two of you to watch pornography together. It's just wrong, and so it's wrong. Yeah. Tell us about your experience.
Yeah, or individually. When in our marriage, my husband and I, quite a few years ago, it came to light that my husband was having a problem with pornography. Mm-hmm. And what that did in our marriage reached every aspect of mm-hmm. of our relationship, of our sexual relationship. There's no place that the tentacles don't reach. Mm-hmm. And it is so important because pornography in itself is such an evil. You know, even if it didn't have the implications and the impact that it does, it is definitely tied in with human right. trafficking. There are people forced into horrendous things. It is just an evil influence.
Well, and I think when a man or a woman,
and it is both.
Yeah. Look at pornography.
Yeah.
I think it causes them to expect things from their partner that's just not reality. You know, the things that you're seeing in pornography are things taken to an
right.
extreme. And
I just felt cheated on.
Yeah.
I just felt like his desires are
now, that
over here.
That got started in Tim's life when he was a young boy.
When he was very
so
young.
So it really
exactly.
had nothing to do with you. He got in the habit.
Right.
And I've been told that it's a very difficult habit to break.
It is. It's chemically a
right.
very difficult addiction to break.
Right.
And it did. It taught me so much because at first it struck me about how it impacted who I was.
Right.
And I had to learn exactly what you said, that so much of it was not about that. But because I felt like, and we did have a good relationship mm-hmm. and we had a good sexual relationship, and I felt like all of that kind of crumbled. All
right.
of that was a lie. So I did kind of all these wrong things that you're thinking about in the beginning. You know,
mm-hmm.
at first, I was so hurt and I felt bad about myself.
Right.
And then I was just so angry and it was like, you're not going to touch this. You
yeah,
know what
right.
I mean? It
yeah.
was more like a punishment.
Right.
And
yeah.
that's not a good answer either. So we had a lot of things to work through
right.
together.
And you did.
We did. And it took a lot of work. It took a lot of prayer and a lot
right.
of counseling, and really learned so much about it together, learned the triggers for
right.
him and what it meant
in my life. And he became accountable.
Exactly.
There were people that he became accountable to
yeah.
that met with him on a regular basis
yeah.
and checked in with him to make sure how things were going.
And not only got to where we were meant to be in our marriage, but really got to a better place
right.
than we
yeah.
were before, because those secrets have to come out
right.
in order to deal with them.
Yeah, in order for if somebody is having a problem with that and they're addicted to it, the best thing in the world is to go to somebody that you feel like that you can trust.
Yeah.
That's not just going to go bip, bip, bip to everybody.
Yeah.
And actually bring it out in the open. The thing that I say all the time is it's our secrets that make us sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes the best thing you can do is what the Bible says in James, confess your faults to one another.
Yeah.
That you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. But you said something important, and this is not just in a situation where there's been pornography, but you said you were tempted to use withholding sex as a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that a lot of people do in their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's also a no-no. That's not something that you want to do. And so I just really wanted to encourage people today to see sex as something created by God, something beautiful, something that should be kept holy, something that can be fun, can be enjoyable, and to really walk in love with your partner, considering their needs even above your own.
Can I ask you about another area?
Sure.
This is one that I think is really important, especially for both men and women who grew up in the church, but especially for women who grew up in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always that purity, which is so important. But you can take it to the wrong place, to where you feel like, therefore, sex is always wrong.
Right.
And it's dirty. And then so for many women, when they do finally get married and they've been waiting, it's difficult to make that shift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I'm supposed to be someone else, where before I was very careful in keeping, you know, my chastity, and now it's a gift that I'm giving, and all of that is true. But it's really hard for women to make that adjustment sometimes.
Yeah. It's like I said before, it's hard for anybody who's been sexually abused. But you're right. It's not even just that. It's just because of the way even the church looks at it, or the fact that they, you know, how often do you ever hear anything like this from the pulpit?
Right.
Or even if that's not a proper place to do it, to have classes,
mm-hmm.
you know, private classes to teach people. I mean, really, Jesus said that we were sheep. And I don't mean this in a wrong way, but sheep are just not real smart. And that we do have to be taught things.
We do.
We
don't understand otherwise.
We don't understand otherwise. And there's so much confusion about this subject. And at this point in the world, there's so much abuse in the area of sex. I mean, you have...
Oh, the images.
You have human trafficking.
Yeah.
And what a... We work in that area and deal with people. And it's pathetic, absolutely pathetic, what people do to people. Or even some of the things that my dad did to me. I mean, when I was 9 years old, he had me looking at pornographic comic books. Mm-hmm. And so it's because there's such power in sexual things, they really grab hold of your mind. And sometimes you'll have flashes of things that you don't even want to have. That's one of the dangers of allowing yourself to look at pornography. And to be honest, the other day, I was just looking up something online, and all of a sudden, I had a pornographic picture pop up, and I was like, you know, trying real hard to get rid of it. And that picture has come to my mind several times. I've had to say no. And so the enemy loves to do those things to people. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, what I think doesn't matter. But Matthew 5:28 says, but I say to you that everyone... He'd been talking about adultery and that it was a sin, but he said, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So men, women, you need to be careful where you even let your mind go.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're having some issues in your marriage, and so you begin to fantasize about somebody that you work with. Or, you know, people say, well, I fell into adultery. Well, I'm sorry, but you don't just fall into it. You know, it's something that
you think about it first.
Yeah, you, and sometimes people don't even realize what they're doing.
Right.
They'll just start having a conversation with somebody, talking to them too much, or then talking to them about their marriage problems. And that's like a no-no. You don't go to another man as a woman and talk to him about the problems you're having with your husband. And then the next thing you know, he's bringing you coffee and donuts, and then he asks you to go to lunch. And so it, you have to understand the devil is very, very cunning mm-hmm. and sly and deceptive, and you can be in trouble hardly before you know it if you're not very, very careful and listen to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so it's real important that we understand that you can't play around with these things or, like I say, flirt with sin and hope that you're not going to get in trouble, because you absolutely will.
Yeah. Do you have suggestions for women who had been sexually abused in their marriage? Because I'm sure it's not just you flip a switch and it's all different now.
No.
There are a lot of things you have to work through.
You do. And I think it takes time. I think it's an area that just requires healing. And I'm sure there's good books available, you know, for people in an area like that. For me, I just made the decision that I was going to really listen to the Holy Spirit, even during mine and Dave's times together. You know, and so people might think, oh my God, you can't pray at a time like that. Well, see, that's because we think
right.
that it's wrong.
We separate
yeah,
these
we
two
think,
things.
Yeah, we think, well, you know, can't talk to God when you're doing, but that's not right. Once again, this is something that God created.
Yeah.
It's not dirty. It can be made dirty, but it's not. It's not intended to be.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the marriage bed holy. Keep it pure. Keep your thoughts pure. But you know, I just committed that I was going to do what I felt like the Holy Spirit told me to do. Because, like, when Dave and I first got married, I mean, I just said, we will never have the lights on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he didn't know what I'd been through as a child. I mean, I'm sure he thought I was a nut, you know. And so I would even do things like when the Holy Spirit would prompt me, okay, now you
step by step.
Yeah, leave the lights on.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, you know. See, people yeah. don't, they probably don't think that God would get involved in something like that. But you can talk to God about this.
Yeah.
That, you know, if you've been abused or you've had trouble in the past, and you know, so many people call us or write to us and they want us to tell them what to do. And I'll tell you, it's not something we can always do mm-hmm. because there's not definite yes and no's in the Bible about certain things. And so, but if you turn the situation over to God and just ask the Holy Spirit to begin to help you and to lead you and to guide you in these situations, he's so sweet and so gentle and so kind, and he'll never lead you anywhere faster than what you're able to go and
right.
capable of going. But make a decision, if your marriage is not healthy in this area, that you're going to work with God and get it to a healthy place.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, it's just going to cause more and more problems. Like you said, the pornography got into every area of your life. Well, I think if you have other problems in your sexual relationship, it affects your communication.
Mm-hmm.
It affects how much time you want to spend with the person. It affects the way you view them. And so it's very important that this is not a problem that we just sweep under the rug and don't deal
yeah.
with. And let me just say this before we're finished. Talk to your marriage partner. Talk to them about what you want, what you don't want. Discuss things. Ask them, you know, what you could do to make it better or whatever. You know, it's like, people don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, Lord, I don't even know what kind of response we'll get from this program. So I'm really stepping out in faith doing this. But when you and I talked last night and we knew we needed to add a program today, and I said to you, let me think about it, pray about it for a little bit, and I'll call you back. I mean, as soon as we hung up, I felt like God said sex. And I thought, no, you didn't really tell me to do that, did you? So I tried a few other things, and it was like, you know, so I am willing to be obedient to God, even to do hard things, if it will help people.
Yes.
So my prayer is that this is going to help a lot of people. So let's pray.
Yeah.
Okay. Father, I pray that what we've talked about today is going to help a lot of people, that nobody's going to be offended by it, that some people are being set free in areas that they had just been in bondage in. I want this to be fruitful and helpful to everyone who sees it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right.
And I think it's so encouraging, actually, from two people who have had different things that have been difficult
right.
in this area, to know that God answers these
yeah.
prayers and that there is joy in the
yeah.
sexual relationship of a marriage. So we do have a free online Bible study about marriage, too,
Good.
That everybody can check out. So that'll be really helpful. Thank
Good.
You, Joyce.
Thank you.